If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
Before we get to today's show, have you seen the amazing containers that cannabis and hemp products come in these days? I'm talking about those amazing joint tubes you carry around in your pocket or the cool containers edible products come in now. There's a revolution in packaging happening around the cannabis industry. In fact, it's already happened. Our new sponsor, KushCo, is largely responsible for incredible innovations that are so useful, well, we take them for granted. But these packages have to comply with strict guidelines, be childproof, and all other sorts of regulations. Kush is on top of that. I guess they are really good at what they do because they've sold over a billion units of stuff to more than 5,000 legally operated medical and adult use dispensaries, growers, and producers across North America, South America, and Europe. Check out their site at kushco.com/podcast for more information. The show starts now.
What you gonna bring today? Ain't got the time to waste. You better believe. What you gonna bring your day? If you don't take the time to say that they got to believe. I don't pretend to be a better man than the man that passes by. That ain't the same as mine. I'm more concerned with the question, how do you live your life? Is it through judgment and hatred?
That was What You Gonna Bring from the Motet's forthcoming record, Death or Devotion. The Motet have been on our radar for a long time. We like their version of funk, soul, and R&B quite a bit. They have a new record, Death or Devotion, which is dropping January 25th, so it just made sense to sit down and talk with someone from the band before they hit the road. Luckily, we tracked down Lyle Davinsky, a fairly new member to the group. In fact, in 2016, three new members were added to the lineup, Lyle, Paris, and Drew. Our conversation started when I asked Lyle, almost 3 years into joining the band, how things feel.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I think depending on the day and depending on really just like the energy or the like, or how busy we are, or something like that, it can feel like yesterday, and it can also feel like I've been in the band for the entirety of the 20 years, you know. But both are like in the most beautiful way. So I mean, how does it feel? You know, it's like our new record, Death or Devotion, is kind of the first time I think that Drew and I especially have been involved with the album process from the beginning. You know, Paris came in about halfway through. And so him and Gabe are kind of, are both on the record. But it's the first time that Drew and I have been a piece of the puzzle from the inception of the record to the completion. And so for that reason, like, as well as us being in the band for, you know, shoot, I think I'll hit my, like three years, right? Because January 2016 is when Drew and I started, and January 2019. Yeah. It kind of feels finally like our voices have not only melded in because of the, you know, close to 1,000 shows that we play, or I guess few, like 500 shows or so that we've played together. But now with the creative process, like, our voices have all kind of melded together in a really organic and beautiful way, so that all of our inspirations are coming together, and then songs are being written more with, you know, with Drew and Paris's ears toward the horn section, the horn arrangements and everything. And even though I came in and wrote most of the vocal songs on Totem, I'm kind of a piece of it from the beginning. So even as different instrumental and musical ideas are coming together, they've kind of been formed around my thoughts as well.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
It's a long way from that Red Rocks, your first Red Rocks show, which must have been quite a trip to be in front of all those people there, of all places.
Oh, you're not lying. That was like my 6-month anniversary and the first time playing in front of the hometown crowd.
Right, right.
So it's like, pretty much had like, you know, over 9,000 people just looking down being like, the hell is that? sorry, you're stuck with me now.
I do want to get to Death or Devotion, but before I do, I'm curious about the fans that you see at live performances. It's got to be a fairly eclectic crowd given the jam band following, coupled with the funk, soul, and R&B thing. I mean, you guys call Colorado home, and that's not a hotbed for urban music or necessarily urban music fans. So I'm curious about the fans in the crowd, because that must be a very eclectic bunch of people.
Absolutely. I mean, I think funk music is just like, it's feel-good music through and through. And so no matter where you go, no matter like what area of the country you're playing to, the common thread is that people are coming to have a good time. People are coming to dance. People are coming to get down in as free a way as they can.
Right, right.
And so depending on that, I mean, you're going to get like, really what it comes down to is it doesn't matter about age, doesn't matter about, you know, ethnicity or skin color or thought process or anything like that. All that matters is if you want to come have a good time, then you come get down. And so that's my favorite part about it, is because you just get people that are there sharing positivity and sharing the hope and the desire to come together and just kind of like throw all the cares of and the stresses of their week behind them, and then come out and let loose on the dance floor and just get down, sing along if they want to sing along. And and so because of that, you get an incredible diversity of people, but all of them got smiles on their face. And like, what a beautiful gift of an experience to be able to have from my perspective and our perspective on stage, to be able to look out and see that. Like, that's like the hope for the world right there.
Right. Death or Devotion is the first motet record with you and Drew, and you mentioned Paris. I guess really, you know, you mentioned you sang some songs on Totem, but you didn't necessarily write them, or did you?
I did, actually.
You did? Okay. So this is really, but more of a collaborative approach. I mean, Totem was probably, 75% done by the time you got into the studio with it?
Yeah, so basically with Totem, when they kind of called me and were seeing about me, they had recorded all of the instrumentals, right, like all of the music for it, and they had even written some of the songs. But I ended up coming through, and so they sent me one instrumental. They're saying, like, you know, we're having a hard time writing to this. Try this out. This is kind of still as I was auditioning, and I wrote that song. And sent it back, and that ended up being The Truth. And then they sent me another song. They're like, all right, cool, try this one out. which I think they had already, like, there was a song written over it, but they just sent me the instrumental to it, and that ended up being Fool No More.
Wow.
And so then they were like, all right, cool, why don't you come out for a rehearsal? And so then I went out, met them, and we did the rehearsal, did a tour with them, and we were kind of writing to some of the songs as I was on that like trial tour. And then after that first tour, they asked me to join in. And so then over the next month, I wrote the other, like I either like just kind of helped reform a couple things, or wrote all of the vocal songs except for So High.
Right. And so now when it was time to write Death or Devotion, you were very involved, obviously, in...
Oh, yeah, from the get-go.
Right. And yeah. So what's that like, you know, being part of it in a more collective way with the other guys?
It's amazing, man. I mean, it's like... As you could tell by the experience with Totem, they really blessed me with gave me the gift of creative freedom,
right?
And kind of put their trust in me in terms of the songwriting. So now to be able to be a part of it from the beginning is just even more of a gift, because now, you know, where it can be from the demo phase where, like, you know, when Joey brought in the demo for, you know, like the demo for Supernova, you know, just the instrumental kind of vibe, mm-hmm. It was killing. And like, then we like reformed a couple things and like kind of figured out an arrangement that was going to best fit the song. And then him and I sat down together and put that song together. And like, same kind of thing with all of them. We basically have like a little bit of a conveyor belt method.
Uh-huh.
So the rhythm section gets together and, you know, one of them will bring in a certain idea. And it could be just like a little riff, or it could be a fully formed demo, and like kind of with different sections. And then the rhythm session gets together, kind of works it out and sees what feels right and puts it into a little bit more of a form. And when they're comfortable with it, they send it over to me. And then I write the song, write the lyrics, melody, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then send it out. Once I get the okay, then goes to the horns, write the horn arrangements around that, and then we get into the studio and do it.
Dope.
So it's like, so it's kind of fun because like in every step along the way, even if it's like, you know, a different subgroup kind of has their time with it, we all still like send it out to each other and get to like really, really put our heads together and like, that's awesome what you did. Like, maybe think about this, like maybe we could try it this way. So then it always kind of gives us like, not only everybody doesn't get that demo-itis,
mm-hmm.
like, so, you know, so then we like still have some open-minded people that are just like further away from the way that, like, from the like the creation of it, to be able to give that open-minded perspective.
it's sort of a very organic way to build a thing too, right? Like everybody adding on. It's pretty cool. That rhythm section, man. That rhythm section is just sick though, right? I mean,
it's insane, man.
Garrett is just thumping along and Dave keeps up, but I mean, Garrett is just, it's unbelievable. It really is. And every time you think, okay, is he going to go for it? I mean, he goes for it. I mean, just on record, I've never seen you guys live, but just on the recordings, you can tell that the man is feeling it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't think for the style of music that we play, I don't think there's a better bass player on the planet. You know, there may be some bias involved with that, but like the fact that I get to turn around and look at Garrett Sayers play his instrument every night just blows my mind, man. And like, and really all of them, man, because like, I mean, it's like, you know, Garrett is a freak, is just like an absolute prodigy on it. But like the way that him and Dave link up together and the way that those two play together is just like, I mean, shit, those two could just play and everybody would be dancing in the crowd. And then you throw Joey, who's one of the funkiest players that I've ever had the pleasure of being around. I mean, you throw him in, and then Ryan, who's one of my favorite rhythm guitar players on the planet. Like all of it, it's just like, they understand the nuances of what we're doing, and they understand the, like, it's not what you play, it's what you don't play.
Right.
You know, and so like even if they're like even if it sounds like they're playing all the notes, it's all intentional, and it's all like everything is done for a reason. There's nothing extraneous about it.
Our conversation will continue in just a bit. Off the top of the show, though, I told you about Cushco Holdings. They are, by the way, a publicly traded company under the ticker KSHB and the parent to innovative cannabis industry leaders such as Kush Supply Company, Kush Energy, The Hybrid Creative, and Coletto Packaging Solutions. They are doing amazing things aside from sponsoring our show. You should check out their website at kushco.com/podcast for more information. Now, back to the show. You know, the record and the band definitely has the funk backbone. There's no question about it. But this record, and maybe Totem to a certain degree too, and it could be probably a lot to do with the vocal stylings of Lyle Davinsky, but there's a pretty dirty, and I don't mean dirty in a bad way, but there's a pretty dirty R&B soul thing going on now.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty muddy, right? Like it's an interesting sound that you guys have, and I guess what is it? Is it just a matter of lyrics being added to that funk beat that instantly make it more of a soul and R&B record? Is it the lyrics? Is it the vocal specifically? What is it that dirties it up that much that makes it even more than just a funk record?
Well, I think it's a few different things. So like for one, I mean, the vibe that I bring to I was raised on soul music. I was raised on R&B music. I was like raised on hip hop and all that kind of stuff. And naturally my mind goes to like how, like, you know, my favorite singers are on the smoother side, like Marvin Gaye and like Al Green, but then also like the Otis Reddings and the like Bobby Womack, and then, you know, the D'Angelo's and people like that. So like inevitably I'm without even really being conscious of it, I'm going to be bringing soul and R&B into my writing and into the way that I approach things. But inevitably I think about soul and funk as being kind of the same thing, just like manifested in a different personality, if you will, where it's like, you know, funk is the extrovert and soul is the introvert.
Uh-huh.
And so like, you know, so you get like funk is just like the, like, go out, have a good time, put it all out on the floor and just be smiling and looking to let loose. And the introvert is like, and soul is the introvert is kind of like the reflective, meditative, emotionally explorative kind of side of it. And I think that what we're trying to do with this is marry the two, where like you can have that crazy heavy funk groove in the back, but like still be able to have a song that when you listen to it, it's not just party, party, get down on it. It's like, oh, I'm dancing, I'm dancing. But at the same time, if I listen to it in my living room, then I can listen to the lyrics and listen to the, like, the kind of nuances of the emotion that they're trying to set, and be able to learn about myself and learn and like kind of reflect on that and explore some different aspects about myself that I hadn't maybe thought about.
Which is an excellent segue to the next question. Is this a party record or is it a funk and chill situation? I mean, it's a very sexy record, and there's parts of it where you could be with your lady or your partner or whatever and you know, not necessarily, well, vertical dancing, I guess. right?
It's just equal opportunity movement. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's like... I think that that's what comes in with the marriage of the funk and the soul that we're trying to achieve. Like, it's, you know, I mean, when you open up with something like highly, like, I guess the record's not out. So
no, that's okay.
But the open
is highly compatible, and it is a song. It's a love song. I mean, the bottom line is that's a love song. That's not a party song.
Right.
That's a love song.
But at the same time, it's like a party disco song,
yeah.
And like where it's like, you know, where people like, it's a dance kind of song. But at the same time, you can dance it either way. You can be uh-huh. sitting down on your couch with candles lit, or you can be in the middle of a dance floor getting down as heavy as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that's really what it like. I don't think I think what's cool about this record is I don't think we necessarily set out to do anything. Uh-huh. We were just listening to the inspiration that was coming from us. Mm-hmm. And I think that all of it really has an amazing continuity to it because we were just sharing what was inspiring us and what was really getting us off at that point, as opposed to really like trying to be like, okay, we're going to make this kind of song or
right.
this kind of song or this kind of song. So instead it was free, you know,
right.
we just like, we allowed it to happen and it's very, it's just very, very much us. As like the record is an incredible reflection of who we are as a band right now.
Let's talk about a couple of other songs on the record because I have had the opportunity to listen to the whole record, and it, like I said, it's dope from front to back. I really enjoyed the whole listen.
Thank you.
There's a good story, I think, behind The Dream that people are going to want to hear about how that song came together, because it really was a dream, right? I mean, it
yeah.
was a dream.
Yeah. 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 It was kind of a messed up dream. I'll try to keep my mouth clear because I know that vulgarities come out every now and again, but
okay.
It was a pretty, all right, cool. Well, yeah, it was a really fucked up dream then. So Ryan was the one that came up with the demo, and he, you know, he sent it out pretty much fully formed. And I was loving the vibe. I was like, I can't wait to write for this, but I'm really exhausted right now, so I'm going to take a little nap. And then I took a nap, and I had this super, super weird dream where, like I wasn't brokenhearted at this point, but I, like, had this dream that I had, like, been like brokenhearted and was like trying to like gather myself back up and go out and like kind of, you know, reintroduce myself to the world and social interaction.
Right.
So I go out to this bar and I'm sitting at this bar having a drink, and this beautiful woman in a red dress comes up and we start talking, and it's just like, wow, okay, cool. Like it's all happening, and like things go off well. And so then we go back to my place, and then, open up a bottle of wine or take a sip of the wine, and all of a sudden start getting woozy and start like kind of like, and then lose consciousness and then wake up handcuffed and basically getting robbed and tortured by this seductress. And
right.
I'm just like, and wake up from that, just like, whoa, that was a crazy dream. And wouldn't it be crazy to make that into a funk song?
Right.
And like, so it's just like, you know, this is not a typical funk song, but I've been listening to a lot of Little Feat as well lately, and so
wow.
like a lot, they have a lot of story, like
yes.
storytelling kind of songs, like
yep.
you know, you listen to some like Spanish Moon or something like that,
of course.
but so I was just like, yeah, maybe this will be that kind of thing. And so just wrote it out and all that. Ryan helped me finally formulate the chorus, because I was kind of struggling on the lyrics for that, and after talking with him, we got that together. And yeah, that was one of those songs that just like came right out. That was like, that one got written in like 20 minutes.
What you're going to bring is an important song, I think, for the time. And given that, you know, you shared it with Headcount, I think it's an important song to talk about. You guys aren't specifically political, I don't think. And I don't think Headcount, well, Headcount definitely is not specifically political either. But given the state of the country, it's an important song, and it's an important song for people to get their head around. You know, how are you going to help the situation? You know, what you're going to bring, right? And so
absolutely.
Talk to me a bit about what you're going to bring and why that song was so important to put on this record.
Honestly, that's like just might be the most important one to me personally.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the rest of the guys, but I think that they would all agree that of the importance of it. Cause really what it is like, you know, it's, yes, you could say it's a political song, but in like when it really comes down to it, it's not telling you to believe one thing or another
uh-huh.
or to vote one way or another or to do anything like that. But really what it comes down to is like just to be a good person and like, ask yourself the question of what, like, what do you want to see in the world, and what like how do you create the world that you want to create,
right?
Or like that you, or that you, or how do you create the world that you want to live in? And a lot of that starts just at the personal level and the community level, and just being open, because I'm a huge believer that the energy that you give out will come back. Not necessarily karma, but like if you walk into a place with a smile on your face, there's a good chance you're going to get a smile back. Uh-huh. And like, if you hold the door for somebody, there's a good chance that they're going to hold the door for the next person.
Right.
And like that kind of energy is really contagious. So if you just keep yourself open and understand that like there is difference around us, but that doesn't mean that anything is better or worse. And I think that like with the division that's going on in this country and like really just the world, there's a lot of fear going on
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people that are just scared of difference and scared of change. When really I think that the difference among us is the thing that makes us so great.
Right.
Cause you know, like if we boil it down, like say everybody in the world was a plumber, then the water systems would be great, but there'd be a whole lot of things going on in this world that we're not getting done and we're not being able to be handled right. But because we have so many different passions, people with different vocations, people with different mindsets, then all of a sudden there's growth. There's a new way for you know, this kind of thing to be done, because there were these minds coming together that thought differently and wanted to see a change happening. And like the world works because of difference.
Right.
And so if we keep our mind open to that and appreciate and love that, then we're only going to continue to grow, and it's only going to bring more joy and more contentment to all of us. But if we resist that change and resist that difference, then we get ourselves in trouble, because really we're just we're shooting ourselves in the foot. When really when it's the thing that's allowing us to be a better version of ourselves.
Agreed, and it's a great tune. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for participating with Headcount. It was such an important midterm, and. Well, the results were the results, right? So that's good. Knee Bone is this nasty, nasty, nasty funk song. It's an instrumental, so you get to dance, I guess, on stage.
Oh yeah.
But you know, this band is hot, right? I mean, this is a hot band, and I know we talked about Garrett and Dave, but the horns, everybody in this band brings a lot to the table, and in Knee Bone, that kind of thing definitely comes out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that was one that Garrett brought in. And, and you know, it's like you're talking about with this band, it's like, it'd be hard pressed to find a band that can play a funk song in 7 that you're just sitting there, just like not feeling like anything is weird or different. Like, cause you know, usually if you hear a song that's in 7, it's like, that's an odd metered song.
Right.
And with this song, you're just like, you're dancing your ass off, not with no care in the world. And I think that that's a beautiful, beautiful aspect about these guys. Like, that is a dirty funk song that has some, like, some kind of, like, cool, weird twist to it.
Yeah.
That all you want to do is just, like, close your eyes, dig into your dance moves, and just smile and join in. It's really cool, man.
I'm curious about Speed of Light. Is that Talkbox or is that post prod?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Talkbox.
That's Talkbox. So that was one of Ryan's tunes that he brought in, and then Joey, being the Talkbox aficionado that he is, right. They threw that down. They wanted, you know, we wanted to throw like just like a little lyrical thing on that, but the idea of bringing it in with the Talkbox and like kind of leaving the human aspect out of that, especially with this kind of, you know, like space inspired funk journey,
uh-huh,
Speed of Light kind of thing. You know, it's just like going right in.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, so many twists and turns on this record. Like I said, like I have no idea if this is a party record or a funk and chill situation. That's with an N, by the way. Or what? I don't blow smoke up people's ass. I really do think it's a terrific record. So congratulations, you guys are going back on the road, and that's a significant play for you guys, whether individually or as a band. You're doing a lot of dates, and you're doing some cool dates. You're doing some dates with John Medeski's Mad Skillet. You're doing some dates with Galactic.
Yep.
Is there anything that you're specifically looking forward to in January and February?
I mean, it's like it's tough to say whether it's one whether it's just one or the other, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's like all every time that we get to get out, it's exciting for me. And I know that sounds like a cop out answer,
right?
But
right.
Like, we have a damn good time playing music together, mm-hmm, you know. So like whether it's driving around the mountains at the beginning of January to do the kind of mountain run, and then, you know, we go off to Jam Cruise and get to hang out with, you know, some of our best friends that we don't get to spend a lot of time with,
right,
for 6 days in the middle of the ocean, just playing nonstop. And then, it's always a great time to play with Galactic, and we'll be doing that in the Northeast as well, which, you know, like I said, I grew up in Maine. I lived in Brooklyn for a long time. So, I got ties to the Northeast heavily. And then, I mean, playing with John Medeski, that's a dream come true right there.
Right.
And I know we have a lot of ties out in the Northwest as well. You know, Joey used to live out in Portland, Oregon. Jans was from Portland. And so, you know, the Motets got a real tie to that area of the country as well. So really, I mean, it's like, in a certain sense, it's like the constant growth of home.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to play in a bunch of our homes.
The only thing, I guess, that's a problem is that figuring out how the hell you pack when you go from, you know, Telluride to Miami and then back to Montana. Well, you have some time at home, but I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, we at least stop home for a day after Telluride, so that we can switch out the parkas for the bathing suits.
Yeah, get your flip flops and all that. Man, thank you so uh-huh much for taking the time. I this was a treat, and so glad I got to listen to the record ahead of time, and dope. Continued success, and hope you're there with them for another at least 20 years, man. Keep it up.
Hell yeah, man. Let's do it.
And tell the boys that I really enjoy the record a lot. So thanks for
Absolutely.
Taking the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much. Really appreciate you.
While the album Death or Devotion doesn't drop until January 25th, I highly recommend you check out the Motet back catalog on your favorite streaming service or however you listen to music. They are extremely talented and will get you out of whatever funk, pun intended, you are in, or get you even more amped up if you already are. The Motet also have an extensive tour coming up, and you should definitely check them out on the road at themotet.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to another great track off of Death or Devotion. Here is That Dream.
Won't find me here again. It took a lot of blowing, three shots, won't find her to force my hand.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.